It's always a great blessing whenever the message of song touches our hearts. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles tonight, then come right ahead.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. That was a pretty good song, wasn't it? That never gets old to me. Now, I've got my cell phone here not to talk on it or anything. It's a clock, okay? And I've got a person in the crowd who's going to shut me off. Make sure it's by 9:30. Last night, I did that sermon in 22 minutes. Can you believe that? You want it quicker tonight or slow it down a bit? Whatever, amen. Hey, I want to thank the pastor and the church. I know all the missionaries want to do this. And on behalf of them and myself, I just want to let you know we appreciate this conference. There's three conferences in the United States of America that outshine. I mean, there's probably other, but I've just not been to them all. But this is one of the top ones I've ever been at in my life. And it never, I just enjoy being here. I think you know that. And I also am very privileged and honored to be able to speak and fill in for Dr. Sith. I can never fill his shoes, but it's an honor to be here and appreciate all that the staff's done. I got two new pair of shoes, amen, and just wish I could get some new hair, but I don't think that's going to happen. But I appreciate all that you've done for us on this, all right? Now, tonight, this message, we're going to start out, and we're going to develop it, all right? It takes a little bit, and like your sign says, what will you do? And tonight, we're going to look at a lady that had it made in the shade with all the lemonade. She had the money. She had the status. Last night, we looked at a lady that had absolutely nothing. And God will use anyone. When they see the opportunity and they have the privilege to be used by God. I want to say something tonight, and it's maybe odd. I hope it comes out okay. God's not short of people that will serve him. Most of us are afraid to step up to the plate, as you were saying, when that opportunity comes. What would we do? What would we do? All right? What would you do if you had an opportunity that God would open that door for you? I was with the Schrocks back in 2005. Remember that missions conference in Iowa? Is this one a lot better than that one? Amen. All right. And I'm telling you, folks, they've been through some horror stories, and I've never seen anything like it. All right. And I'm going to have, and Mary Lynn, you did good, but Eli, if you come over here, he's going to help me a little bit tonight. I knew Eli when he was a teenager, maybe 8, 9 years old, didn't I? That's how he's lost his hair. You can just sit there, just sit right there and wait for me. He's going to be my Elisha tonight, okay? And before we get into it, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And I want you to understand, God commands the church to send missionaries. And God calls the missionaries. And God's concern for the lost is God's concern. If God calls these missionaries, the Jones and the Schrocks and the Burks and everybody else that's missionaries in here, God will take care of you. But he doesn't have 401ks. He doesn't use the Australian National Bank or the Bank of Nova Scotia or Citibank. He doesn't use any of those things. He doesn't use tax funds or things like that. What God uses is the local church to send independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist missionaries out around the world. And the other cultures that I've been in do not understand that. But you do. And as tonight, as we take a look here in 2 Corinthians, by way of introduction, I want to set the table before we get into our message. And I want us to start, and I'm going to take just a little time. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And as you go there with me, I want you to listen to it in a little different context tonight. Look at verse 1. Now, moreover, brethren, that means listen up, brethren. We do you to wit, we want you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, that abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. For to their power, I bear record, Paul says, they were willing, and yea, and beyond their power, They were willing of themselves. Underline that word willing if you do things like that in your Bible. That's going to be a thought. The Shunammite woman, the question is, why was she great? She was willing, all right? Now look at verse 4, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we'd hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that he had begun, so he also would also finish in you the same grace. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, there it is, in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us. Now watch this. See. Make sure. Take note that ye abound in this grace also. And that grace is giving to missions. Watch this. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to the prove the sincerity of your love. If you love the Lord, you'll do this. For you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Paul says, now herein I give my advice. This, I'm not telling you what to do. You have to make your own decision. But you got to be willing. For this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it. Why was the Shunammite woman great? We'll discuss tonight, because she did it. Now watch this. That as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. God will never have you give anything to him unless you already have it. Verse 12, and I'll finish. For there be first a willing mind. It is accepted according to the man hath, and not according to that he hath not. And you know what it says over in Romans or 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, Paul writes again, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. The he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed. Thursday night we preached about on purpose. Amen. Last night we preached about, you know, on purpose. What are you going to do? And last night we looked at a lady, the example of Macedonian giving laid right out there in front of us. The question tonight is what are you going to do? Look closer here. So let him give not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Has God ever come up short? Never. And God uses people to reach people. Now I want you to slide in your Bibles with me to 2 Kings chapter 4 tonight. And as you do, as we set the table here for this message, talking about the faith promise giving and reaching the lost of the world, and it's a heart matter. And I just want to encourage you, and the thought of my title of my message tonight is, why was she great? Why would this Shunammite woman, registered in the Bible, we don't know her name, but why did God call her great? And we want to pick up a few things. And tonight I was getting ready for the sermon, shaking hands with people, and one of the men reminded me, remember what you preached on last time? Sir, I have a hard time remembering what I preached on yesterday. He said, listen, obey, respond, and do. How many remember that outline from last fall? If you just listen to God's word tonight, and you obey God's word and respond to it, respectfully respond to it, this is not rocket science, and just do what God puts in your heart, preacher, it'll go up. More people will be reached. We're here doing a serious business. And I want you to understand, as I said the other night, it's like a 3 or 4 or 5 day business meeting, dealing with God and what God wants you to do this next year. So why was she great? Let's take a look at chapter 4 here. Let's pick up the story in verse 8. Now it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem. There was a great woman that she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on the day that he came thither, he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said, unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? What does she need? God wants to bless her. In the book of Matthew, it says, when you give to the Lord with the right heart, it's pressed down, shaken together. And what? Running over. And this lady was standing there, and in this story, as I've developed it for you, I want you to keep in mind faith, promise, giving. All right? Elisha, you can get up and you can start doing your ministry. He's got ministry over there at that door, and he's got ministry over there at that door. Okay? And as she sees him going through town. All right? And he's a slow motion prophet, okay? And you can go a little faster, all right? And so she's watching him, and he's out there just to preaching away. And I don't think he was married or anything. And he's just serving God. And he comes back through. Come on back through. He's handing out tracts to everybody. And she's watching him. Act like you're handing out tracts there, you know. And there you go. And there you go. Go a little faster. You're serving the Lord. The supports the Lord of this church supports you, so you know. And so she watches him go down to this other town. And he comes back through. Come back through. And you know, and he's coming back through, and she's watching him. You keep walking. We're going to, folks, get back in our Bibles. Look at verse 8. Here's my first thought. I want you to see this with me. She was great because of her determination. She was great because of her determination. Look with me in verse 8. It said this, Elisha passed Shunem, and Elisha, there was a great woman, and she constrained him. That means she was rich. That means she was intelligent. That means she had it going on, all right? And she saw that he never had any food on him. He didn't have any food, and he's kind of skinny, skinnier than Brother Shrock. But anyway, he was serving the Lord. And as Elisha's walking back and forth, she got an idea. She made some biscuits. And she called him, saw him coming. Excuse me. Good to see you. What's your name? Elisha. I've been watching you going back and forth. You're serving the Lord. You must be a missionary or preacher, huh? You're handing out tracts, winning people to Christ, you know. I fixed you some bread, okay? And he says, well, I don't want any. I got to go. No, wait a minute. You don't understand me. I fixed you some bread. Now, how many of you folks have got in-laws, or especially some aunts? I had two aunts, Ildreth and Eleanor, and I was their favorite. And every year when we had a family reunion, they both would have a bake-off contest. And I'd have to decide which aunt's pie was the best. You're a rock in a hard place, right? So I just kept doing it, and this one lady made strawberry and blueberry. And I said, I like the blueberry best, you know. And I said, how do you make it so good, Aunt Ildreth? She says, well, I make the dough, and I put it in the pot. And then I fold it out and bake it a little bit. And I put the blueberries in there. And then I put the top on the pie, and I put the little slits on it. Then I take my false teeth and just run around the edges to put the – and I go, oh, my goodness. Now, this Shunammite woman, now watch this, she had a determination about her, and I want you to pick up on it. You need to make a determination tonight and this week to make a decision. What are you going to do in 2017 in your faith promise giving? And she looked at him, and the Bible says, look at the word constrained. Now, let me show you how it is in English when we translate it, okay? Now, this is a chair in front of my house. I'm the Shunammite lady, and he's walking down the street, and he's trying to get by me. She physically stops him and then constrains him. That means, son, you're going to sit down right there, and you're going to eat my biscuits. And there goes the menu. Eat one. Good, take a bite. It's only a week old. Go ahead. Okay. So he gets up and he goes in the ministry. All right, go to the ministry. Don't get too much pot cake. He's reaching for more. And so he's working there, you know, he's coming back, serving the ministry a little faster. Elisha, if you could please. And look what it says here. And so as he goes by, look at verse 8. And so it was. Come, turn around, make it quick. And so it was. He comes by the next day. Hold it right there, buddy. I need some more for you. Have a seat. No. I got to constrain you again. Sit down right there. Sit down. Take one. Go in the ministry. Now he goes. Take that one with you. Eat it. Look at the verse again. Look a little closer. He's serving God, and then he comes by again. As often as he come by, look at verse 8. Turn around, come back. Sit down right there. I got him trained. Am I right? Now you listen to me on this. She had a determination. She got his attention. And she said, I'm going to support you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to feed you the bread. Study that. That means meals. So every time he would take off in the ministry, he's like a stray cat. Come on. She just set it there. Is that good or what? Her determination, three parts about it. I want you to catch it. Thank you, Brother Elisha. You can go get a seat. Take that bread with you so you won't be hungry again. Amen. Number one, there was wisdom in her determination. There was wisdom in her determination. What do you mean by that, Brother DeLong? Does not the Bible tell us? But I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. She wasn't just doing it for one time. She had some wisdom. And my goodness, every time he came by, at first she had to set him down. She had to constrain him. She talked him into it. But by the end of the verse, he knew where the blessings was. I'm telling you what, there was wisdom in that. Number two, there was worth in her determination. You know, the Bible tells me in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 8, it says, when you do this grace giving, you do this to prove the sincerity of your love. 2 Corinthians 8:24 says, to show the proof of your love. Twice in one chapter, Paul says, you show the proof of your love. Now, ladies, how do you like it when your husband says, I love you? Do you? Do you like it better when he gives you a box of chocolate with it? Huh? Say amen, ladies. Two of you. You got some high-priced ladies in here. Okay, ladies, a dozen roses. Okay, $100 gift certificate to Uncle Julio's. Now I'm talking. Amen. I got it over here. And guys, you do this because you want to prove your love. And we have these different love languages. And my wife's love language is she wants to cook for me. And she wants to do things for me. Mine is I just want to buy her stuff that's not really expensive, okay? But been married 42 plus years now. I figured out what she likes. She loves Dove's ice cream bars. Light chocolate. Preacher, she can take a giant pack of those nacho chips with a quart of mild sauce and eat it clear across the state of Texas two or three times. We've done it. And she likes little cards. At times when you're not expecting it. A couple years ago, I went home from a preaching thing, and I beat my wife and daughter home. And I put her little cards through the house, little love notes, you know. Guys, you need to take notes here to keep the hassle out of your castle. This will help you. And so I got her three or four Dove bars and put them up in the freezer. And in the bedroom, I put some flowers, okay. And then I got a big bag of nacho chips and hid them in a closet. And I got the salsa, and I put notes around the house. And when she came in the house, I said, look in the refrigerator for your first note. And there it was. Roses are red, violets are blue. I love you, coochie, coochie, coo. Look in the freezer. Now, Selena's sitting over here at the table doing her homework. She's homeschooled at that time. And I'm helping her do math. Boy, that was a riot. And so we're doing this. And my wife comes over, and I'm sitting here, and her hand comes out and just touches my shoulder. And I do this to my wife. She went off for the next clue. And I could hear her finding the bag of chips. I could hear the voice, oh. She popped that thing open and started eating them. And then she followed the next clue and found the flowers and another gift and came back. And she did this number to me. My right ear went, whoa. And my daughter looked at me and said, Dad, dare you two go, what are you and Mom saying? You're not using words. We were saying, hey, we love each other. Now, you listen to me, folks. What is the proof of your love? Ladies, he can say it 100 times. He's got to prove it. Men, she can say it 1,000 times, but you need to prove it. Am I right? Amen? Am I right? Now listen to this thought. That lady, she was proven that she was the real deal. It wasn't a one-time thing. And I want to tell you, there's some worth in that. And lastly, there's a witness of her determination. Look at verse 8. The Bible says that, so it was as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Now look at this witness of determination. Slide down to verse 10. She said, "Honey, let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. It shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither." I'm telling you what, she gave out of her resources. Yes, it might have started with a little biscuit. It may have started with some bread and then some meals. But now she's seen that this man has a real need. She sees that Elisha, he needs more than just bread. He needs a house. And God spoke to her heart. And I want you to see her witness. She made the first prophet's chamber, I believe, in the Bible that we have record of. All right? Now, I'll tell you what, she had a lot of money. Her husband did. I was in Haiti on my first missions trip back in the 80s, and as I went down there, that place is poor. And so we was getting ready to put a wall up in Cape Haitian for an orphanage. And we had the floor, but we needed enough money to put up two more walls. But we were broke. So that Sunday, three churches was going to take an offering at one church after the morning service. And I was there preaching, and I'd never seen one of these. These folks didn't have any money. Well, how are they going to get anything? Then they brought in three pickup truckloads of vegetables, two or three pigs, chickens, and ducks, and they just brought them to the altar. They brought all the stuff and filled up an area about this big back for these, from here to these ladies, just full of produce, and, you know, geese were honking, and ducks, you know, and the skinniest chickens I ever saw in my life right there. And they give them to the Lord. And that night they sat around them. The next morning, they took it to the market down to the capital, Port-au-Prince, sold every ounce of it, brought it all back. Three men brought it back, bought enough block and concrete to put the two or three walls up. I'm telling you what, folks, they had, no one had shoes. They didn't have bank accounts. You talk about credit cards. They couldn't bounce a check. They didn't know what a check was. But they gave out of their resources. God put it on their heart. And they took the opportunity. There was a determination in their eyes. Amen? What are you going to do? Number two, she was great. Not only determination, I want you to see this. It's another D. She was great because of her discernment. Look at verse 9. Look what she says about the Elisha. And she said unto her husband, "Behold, I perceive this is a holy man of God, not just a man of God, a holy man of God." She saw the need, and she acted on that need. She discerned that he was a great man of God. She concerned he was busy about his father's business. And I'm going to talk about our missionaries here for a minute. How many know Brother Jones is busy about his business? How old are you, Brother Jones? James, I mean. 56. Brother Burke is busy about his business. How old are you, brother? 67. Brother Schrock, you're the spring chicken. How old are you? 42. Not one of these men have got a stop button in them. Are you listening? Just being around them this week, I got that discernment. They are, you love the people in Cambodia, but hey, not compared to Cuba, right? You love the people in Cambodia, but no. You're the Malayan people, right? You could care less about Papua New Guinea or Uganda. That's what God puts in their heart. And you folks see that and you perceive that. And I want you to understand, when God gives you an opportunity to do what you can do in this church, through this church, for these missionaries, you better have a discernment that God is at work. Amen? Temple Baptist Church of Herndon, Virginia, come to me 20-some years ago. Made a member of the phone call. "Hey, preacher, we want to come over and build a building and want to do this." And he did not know what was going on that side of the world. He decided, "Well, we can build up buildings. It's going to be expensive coming. We can do this, do this, do this." He said, "We'll just send you the check." And I'm not preaching about this anymore. Can I speak on this? I've never said it out loud. The church over there does not know today where it came from. But a month before he called me, they gave us 10 acres of land. You've been there. Downtown Port Moresby. worth over $5 million. Okay? And the land was given to us by a man I led to the Lord 8 years earlier. But we had to put $20,000 U.S. improvement in 6 months. We didn't have $200 in the church bank account. And he said, God put us on this, his heart, to come at this time. That is discernment. The house is there. A church this big is there. The containers for the PNG Bible Project are going to be there. I'm telling you what, you better have discernment that people that are doing something for God, whether it's Cambodia, Cuba, or Malaysia, I'm telling you what, God wants to reach this world. And he uses people like that, but they can't go unless we have ladies like in Schumann, that God gets a hold of their heart and they take care of all the stuff back here that you never see. All God's people said? That's great, isn't it? Think about that. Number three, the third D is this, and I'll go quickly. She was great because of the dream that she had, the drive that she had. It says in verse 10, let us make a little chamber. She wanted to do more than bake bread. She wanted to do more than just give him a glass of water. She wanted to do more than just have him sit there and rest. And when you look at this house that she put together for him, I mean a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick and free Wi-Fi and air conditioning and blueberry Pop-Tarts. Where'd that come from? Church in Iowa, where I got married, asked my wife and I a year ago, can you help us put a guest chamber together? And I said, well, call Pastor Pittman. He knows how to do it. And I just stayed in here, and I said, well, you got to put a coffee machine in there, and you put a phone in there, and you put a washer in there, and you put a dryer in there, and you do this, and you put a desk in there. And they'd never thought of these things, but they wanted to be a real encouragement and to help to their missionaries. And I said, put a big washing machine in there and a big dryer, because as we travel, as missionaries travel 6-7 days out, those cars begin to really stink inside. And most people have everything in guest rooms at churches except washers and dryers. That was amazing. They put a great thing together. And I want to tell you, this lady here had a drive about her, but she had a dream. Let us do this. Of course, her husband wrote the check or whatever you want to say, and he put this together. And she was great because she had not only a determination, not only a discernment, but she had this dream that drove her to do. And it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7, see that ye abound in this grace also. This grace is giving to mission, and this lady had a hold of it. You know our faith promise system that we have today, Pastor. A lot of that came out of, I know it's Bible, but Hudson Taylor was on the field for several years in China. And Hudson Taylor got sick and just about died. When he come home, he spent 3 years not on furlough, I think it was 2 of the 3 years, he was in bed, sick. But he began to study this and began to look at this. When he first went to China, he was a hireling for the London Missionary Society. And while he was back on this thing, this furlough, this sickness, he began to study. And the last year, God put it on his heart to take 12 new missionaries with him. And God also put it on his heart not to take any salary, but to live by faith promise. So he began to preach at these churches, Spurgeon's Church, and where Mueller was, George Mueller, and F.B. Meyer's church, they'd have him in. And this was new to them. But he never said that he was going to unhook from the London Missionary Society. And over that time, 12 missionaries joined him to get on the boat to go to China. As they're getting on the boat to go to China, Mr. Taylor was healed now. He handed the letter to the person from the London Missionary Society. Do not open that till you don't see our sail over the horizon. And here's what it said in the letter. Do not send us any more salaries. We're going to live by faith. We know God will take care of us. Well, that was good, wasn't it? Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? They get to India, or China, excuse me. They set up house. About 6 months go by, and there's no money coming in. And the bookkeeper, the bean counter, comes up and said, listen, Dr. Taylor, hey, we have not getting any checks from the London Missionary Society, and we're down to our last bag of rice and our last fish, and we don't have any more money to buy stuff. And Mother Taylor said, well, that's great. We're going to live by faith. There's not going to be any checks coming because I've preached and this is what I believe. But he never told those other missionaries. He about had a riot on his hands. And he said, let's trust God for another week. A week went by, And they get a letter from, of all people, George Mueller, who never took an offering, ever. Had that orphanage, hundreds and hundreds of kids. But God put it on his heart to send a check to that orphanage one time a year. And I have forgotten how many sterling silver pounds it was, but it was enough to take care of 13 families. And he did that for 8 years till he died. And other people picked up on it. Now you tell me if God's not in charge of things or not. Amen? Now listen to this thought. Listen to this thought. When you do these things, and God works on your heart, and when you not only get that determination, that discernment, that dream, that drive, at the end of the story, God will always pay the dues. That's the last day. Always pays the dues. And so Elisha said, Gehazi, go ask her what she needs. In verse 13, 14, well, I don't need anything. I live amongst my people. I've got everything. And basically, I'm happy as can be. So Gehazi dug around a little bit and found out the in-law said that she would like to have a baby boy. and I'm okay. I don't need that. And make a long story short, 9 months later, Elisha told her, you're going to have a baby boy. God's going to bless you for blessing us. Now catch it. God's going to bless you for blessing us. God's going to bless you for blessing us. You reap what you what? Sow. He that soweth sparingly shall what? Reap what? Sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall what? Reap bountifully. And it's not what a man has or not has, but it's what you purpose in your heart. What are you going to do? That's an unbelievable theme. That's a great theme. This Shunammite lady, when God began to work on her heart, she had to make a decision. What is she going to do? What drove her? And I believe it was this. It was her love for her God. It was her love of what that man was doing. She could not preach, she could not teach, but she could take care of him. And she did in a great way. Oh, by the way, when the boy got a little older, he died. And she ran straight to the preacher. He prayed over that boy, and she got paid back again. God put life back in him. I'm telling you what. And everybody's watching it. Everybody sees that. And I've finally come up with the answer. That is why the Shunammite woman was great. She had a determination. She had a discernment. She had this drive, this dream to do something for God, to help in any way she could. And she did. And at the end of that, God always, always, as it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15, will add it to your account. All may not be money, may not be riches, but I've watched God work in my life. I've watched God work in other people's lives when they finally decided just to give it to God and trust God with it. As you close your Bibles tonight, I have a little church about 2 hours up from Moresby called Ngorahu. The church was started, went in there to preach, led one man to the Lord. He brought his 5 brothers to my house. I may have preached it here, and a month later led them all to Christ, and they went back to the village. The village church, the United Church there, the preacher was drunk half the time, and it was a bad situation. He preached no doctrine. You can lose your salvation and everything. We started a little church there of 40 people, and as we went to start it, not much was happening. And a little girl, I mentioned it to the meal yesterday, when I saw her on the Sunday preaching, she was fine. She was 4 years old, and on Friday, she was dead. And they brought her to my house. There's no embalming over there where we're at. You couldn't afford it. So we froze her, bought an igloo cooler. My wife got the clothes for her. And packed her in dry ice in the back of my pickup truck. Drove her 2 hours. Put her in a boat. Took her up that river 2 hours up the Brown. Got to the village. They're waiting. Morning. You could hear them crying a mile away. Above the motor. Pastor's coming. And I had to carry that igloo cooler off. And there were about 1,000 people there. You couldn't get them in this room. And all the women were in a room waiting for this. And that little Pastor Hanawa looked at me and said, now, preacher, you give them the gospel in there. Then when you're done with the women, you bring the body and come over to the men and give them the gospel. And I did. You know, the wailing and the crying and these places and little bodies sitting there, and it's a closed thing. And I tell them where that little girl is. And I told them how they can get there. Man, them women got saved, went to the men. Big, strong, ex-headhunting men. Tough. We'll never hear a sound out of them but the tears running down, just like a flood. And I said, she's in heaven. Do you want to go there? What are you going to do? Some of the men got saved. Some of the ladies got saved. Some didn't. Then we went out there and buried that girl about 100 yards off the beach. Got done with the message and got done with the funeral. Got on the boat and went home. And I'm telling you what, that was the beginning of Gorohu Baptist Church. Hana was still the head man there. Church runs about 350. The five boys that got saved, three of them are deacons in the church there. And the other one, one of the other two is the headmaster of their Christian school, ACE. I'm telling you, God does work. Amen. I just want to encourage you. You can't go to these places, and you see the videos from Brother Schrock and Cuba and Malaysia and New Guinea or Uganda. You see that. But when you're there and you're in that, I'm telling you what, every Elisha, every missionary, every man that's worked in the ministry around this world will say, you know what? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for doing what the Shunammite woman did. Thank you. That's why she is great. So this week, Dr. Sis is going to come. What are you going to do? What will you do? We told you about a determination to participate, a discernment to see what's going on. Have that dream, that drive to be part of it. Listen, obey, respond, and do. And you can dream a little bit. Good night. You guys are showing all your tools up there today. Man, I got five or six building projects I want you to do. You know, I'm just sitting there looking at this. And every missionary is sitting, boy, I can take this stuff and they can come build a building for me, build a building for me, build a two or three for me. I'm just telling you, as a missionary, you got this in you. I seen Brother Schrock walking through the streets. I seen him walking through the streets. I seen you in that empty room. And then the next video, next shot, it's full of people. Man, that gets a hold of my heart. I've been called to Malaysia, Cuba, and Cambodia this week. I want to go there. I want to encourage you as a church, you can send them there. That's what makes you, that's what makes any church a great church in the eyes of God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I don't know your hearts. God does. I'm going to let the preacher take the invitation as he seems fit. I just want the Holy Spirit to touch you tonight and understand if the Lord can use that widow woman, if the Lord can use that lady from Schumann, the Lord can use anybody in this room.
Father, tonight as we take just a few minutes to let you take your word and the example of this little Shunammite woman to touch our hearts. I pray that, Lord, perhaps you left her unnamed for a purpose, that we could all put our names there. We could see a need through your spirit, and we could try to fill that need. We could dream a little bit. Lord Jesus, tonight maybe there'd be some people in this room, some young people, some older people that say, maybe I could go and be that one that goes back and forth sharing the gospel. Lord Jesus, the Shunammite woman was great because she did what she could. And she used what she had. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to do the same thing tonight. Maybe we don't have much, but we can give our heart, we can pray, and we can give what we can. Father, speak to hearts tonight. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.